This morning, we're here by divine appointment. But we're so thankful for the grace and the peace that God multiplies, even in times of sorrow and of grief, of parting. And this morning, may God bless you, Susanna, and the family as you go through this time of parting. Yes, we probably, in a sense, this was anticipated. God has ways of getting us ready to see our loved ones pass on and be relieved from the trials of their physical bodies. But yet with it, there's that parting. But though we grieve, we have a joy as well. And God desires to give you grace and peace. He wants to multiply that to you. He talks about his abundant mercy, begotten us again unto a lively hope. This morning we're here with a glorious hope because of what Christ has done for us. From the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, for those who are kept by the power of God. Probably many verses we can think of this morning, but Psalm 116 verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Again, we're here by divine appointment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." And Uncle Sam met that appointment. This morning I'm privileged to have Sam as an uncle. He's been an inspiration. His faithfulness has spoke to many of us. And I believe that as Sam has met this appointment, you know, God called him from this life. His life on earth is over. The story's told. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Well, that was a reality for Uncle Sam. But we're still here in life. Are we going to allow God to speak to us? I believe he's looking to speak to us today through death. And when our time comes, we have no power to retain our spirit when we've met that appointment. Proverbs 14 verse 32 says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." And we're so thankful for that hope this morning. I was talking to a man yesterday morning, a customer, and I mentioned that we have a funeral today. I have an uncle that passed away. Well, he gave us his sympathies. Then he mentioned that he's going to a memorial service this coming Saturday of a cousin, I think he said it was, that was killed in an accident recently. But the sad part was, he said, it's a sad story. He said, my cousin, he talked about his ex-wife and the issues there and how they were at a supper together, and his ex-wife was there as well, and he left there and something wasn't right. And he ended up wrapping his car around a tree. The righteous hath hope in his death. And we can rejoice in that this morning. And we're not to judge the other man that died. But this morning I'm grateful that we can have that hope beyond life. We can be here with a joy in spite of pain. This past Friday, two of my brothers and myself had the privilege of standing at Sam's bedside. And it was hard to see him laying there, not really able to live and not hardly able to die. He was there waiting for that appointment. And I also picture, and I don't know how it is in heaven, but I also picture Jesus there just waiting and longing to take his children home. It's precious to him. You know, there in Hebrews it talks about the joy that was set before him when he endured the cross. Yes, he despised the shame, but I believe part of that joy was when he can come home, come back and take his children home. And we have that hope this morning because of the blood of Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. As we were there with Uncle Sam, he was lying there. The verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4, I think, described it well. It says, "For we that are in this tabernacle, or in this body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life." He was just waiting for that moment. But friends, this morning, thank God again for the blood of Jesus, for that resurrection of life, eternal life. Our hope is because of Jesus, our Savior, what we have here before us is the physical part, the physical body that Sam so occupied for 83, probably almost 84 years. But his soul is no longer here. It has left the body. And I can't explain all that. What happened there on Sunday afternoon when he took his last breath? Well, we do have scripture that gives a thought there when Lazarus passed from the scenes of life. It says there were angels there that carried him. To Abraham's bosom. What a comfort, what a blessing. And that has now happened for Uncle Sam. And the reality is, and we were reminded of that already this morning, that that day is coming for each one of us. We're not here to stay. We have a beginning, but we have no end. Our soul has no end. You know, death seems final. The grave seems so cold. And yet it's that door that takes us from this life to the next. It's only that avenue that God uses. But death this morning, the pain of death is because death is a result of sin. And I'd like to just think of man's state. You know, God created the world and everything in it back at the beginning of time. He created it in all perfection. There was no sin, there was no curse. I can't hardly imagine that, the perfection of beauty that was there. Then God formed man, and I like how the Bible says that he formed man from the dust of the earth. Yes, he created the animals as well from the dust. But it says that he made man in his likeness and in his image. We don't come from apes or animals of any kind. We didn't just evolve. We have a creator. The big difference between man and the rest of the creation, though, is that when God completed the creation of man, when he formed man, it says that he breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. The soul of man has a beginning but has no end. God breathed eternity into man. He invested his own breath in us. You know, the rest of creation dies off and that's it. But that's not the way it is for us. That's not the way it is for man. Man has an eternal soul. Another difference is God created the animals and the rest of creation with instinct, but he created man with the power to reason and choice. The ability to choose. God placed man there in the Garden of Eden with simple and plain commands and instructions to dress it and to keep it. But he also had a requirement for man. And man chose to disobey, even when he was told that the result would be, the penalty would be sin. We know the story. God could not dwell with sin. Satan come along and he said, yea, hath God said, and he's still doing that today. So God drove man from the garden with no more opportunity, or he could have drove man from the garden with no more opportunity, because God cannot dwell with sin. But God was quick to promise a redeemer. He continued to give man a choice. Why? Because he loved us. Romans 5 tells us that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And this morning none of us are exempt of that. That includes you and I. And you know, man has been dying ever since, physically. So what about the breath of life that God breathed into man? I'd like to turn to Job 14. I love the book of Job and his many questions. But in Job 14, I'd like to look at a few verses here. Reading verses 1 and 2, it says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. This morning we're here because of that. Man does not continue. Uncle Sam has passed from this life. You know, we say few days, 80-some years. That's a long life, isn't it? Well, in light of eternity, what is 80 years? What is it if you lived 100 years? Or if you would have had the lifespan of Methuselah, 900-some years. In light of eternity, that's only a drop in the bucket. It's almost not even recognizable. It says, he cometh forth as a flower. You know, there was a day when Sam was young, when he was the newborn, when he brought much joy to his parents. There was a day when he grew up in the home with his siblings. He had a prime of life as well. He had the opportunity to marry the love of his life. God blessed him in many ways. He served the church as a leader. He raised a family. He did a lot of taxi driving. And you know, knowing Sam growing up, he enjoyed his taxi driving. He enjoyed buying his new trucks, putting hundreds of thousands of miles on them and telling how good they did, and how he could still read through the dipstick, through the oil, and read what it said because of using AMSOIL. But you know, the days of coming forth like a flower are over. Those things have passed on. Sam knew a lot of people. He worked with a lot of people. And you know, it was interesting sometimes coming to Lancaster County in business. You know, you meet someone and the common question is, Val Vishtu, who are you? Well, you know, I'd say, well, I'm one of Jake Stolzfus' sons. Well, what? Who's your grandfather? Well, I'm Jan's Czech's son. And then they'd ask, do you have an Uncle Sam? Because a lot of people knew Uncle Sam. But those days are over. Like it says here, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. His opportunity in life is now over. Verse 10, it says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? And I'm sure as a family, you probably wonder, what is his experience? And probably many of us do. Where is he? Well, we have our ideas, and the Bible gives us a glimpse into what happens after death. But yet, we're left with probably a lot of questions, and I can't answer that question completely this morning. Where is he? And we'd like to maybe touch on that a little later. Then verse 14 and 15, it says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Then thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to work the work of thine hands. That all-important question, if a man die, shall he live again? The fact is that we will live again. Death is God's call from this life to the next, to eternity. And each of us will answer that call when God calls, whether we're ready or not. Many would like to avoid that question. They want to be cremated. They want to be dumped into the ocean or whatever. The fact is, no matter what happens to our earthly body, our soul will live on. And Job answers that question. I'd like to turn it over to Job 19, verses 24 and 25. Job 19, verse 24, 25 to verse 27. It says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job made it personal. I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold. And this morning, that's a fact for each one of us. The Bible is clear that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account of our life. But Job had a faith in God for his redemption. And yes, this was before the coming of Christ, but I think he looked forward to that Redeemer that was coming. And in faith, that was his salvation. And he could meet God with confidence. Each one of us as well will meet God someday, whether in life or whether in death or the second coming of Christ. There is life after death. Revelation 1 verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Yes, every eye. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And that's the way it's going to be. We will see him. How we die is how we will meet our Maker. Our days of choosing and choice will be over. For Uncle Sam, the story is written. The way the tree fell, that's the way it is. And I'm thankful for that hope because of his life that we can have for Sam. I couldn't help but wonder, what would Uncle Sam tell us this morning if he'd have the opportunity to stand before us? After passing for a few days, what would he tell us? I'm confident he would tell us, like Joel says, prepare to meet thy God. Because we will meet him. There's no exceptions to that. At my ordination about 10 years ago, when Sam's were there Sunday night, and I still remember clearly, when Uncle Sam and Susanna came through the line and met us, he gave me a little paper with the reference on of John 14, 1 to 4, where it talks about, I go to prepare a place for you. Those verses there. And it was such an encouragement, and that's what he gave it to me for, as an encouragement. Then he told me, and I'm sure he told me out of experience, he said, if you ever don't know what to preach when it's your turn to preach, he said, just remember, Jesus is coming again, and you'll get an inspiration for a message. And I don't doubt at all this morning if Uncle Sam would be here with us. He would help us to point our focus to preparing to meet God. Well, this morning, how do we prepare to meet God? I'd like to look at that just a little. God didn't leave us without a remedy. Yes, he drove man from the garden. He promised a redeemer. But he left us again with the choice of redemption. There is a path back to God. We have that fulfillment of promise that God gave Adam and Eve there just before he drove them out of the garden. He promised a redeemer. But the fulfillment of that promise is in John 3, 16 and 17, well-known verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Friends, this morning, we don't have to perish. We don't have to go to hell. We can be saved from sin. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 3, verse 20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. I'm just blessed. And there's many other verses we could look at this morning, but I'm just blessed with Jesus longing to bring us back to himself, not only in heaven, but right here in life, where he wants to save us. He wants to clean us up, and he wants to use us in his kingdom. He went to all extent this morning. He went to all extent so that we here this morning could have that living hope, that we can have that living relationship with him on a daily basis. He paid the price for sin. You know, death or sin, the payment of sin is death. And Jesus shed his own blood. He died, he rose again. He gave his life a ransom for sin to give us, you and I, new life. What a blessing. But we have our part to do. John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus there, he said, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this morning, if it wasn't for that hope, this would be a despairing time when we see a loved one pass on. But because of our dear brother giving his heart to the Lord and being born again, there is hope beyond this life. Luke 13, verse 5 says, Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, not one of us is ready to meet God by ourselves. We need a mediator. We need that, the blood atoned. We need our sins repented of. We must confess that we're a sinner. We must confess our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. It's only through the blood. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 5. These are some of my many favorite verses. Thinking of the atonement for my sin, for Uncle Sam's sin. You know, we might think here this morning that, and you as a family have been blessed with a godly heritage. You've been handed much, but that's not enough to make it to glory. You must be born again. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, not just all them out there, but for us Stolzfusses and Laps and Fishers and whoever we all are here this morning. We were the ungodly. Verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That price that was paid for my sin, for your sin, much more than being now justified by what? By his blood, not by our ancestors, not by who we are or all the good we've done, but by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. We need that mediator between us and God, the one to present us faultless before his glory. Verse 10, For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God this morning. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And this morning, if you don't know what it's like to be a child of God, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That invitation is still open. We're still here in this life. But friends, when we close our eyes in death, it's over. Our opportunity is gone. I believe Uncle Sam would tell us, prepare to meet your God. God has not left us without a remedy. He done all in his power to save us. Faith in the blood. You know, God sent his son. Jesus paid the price. It's up to us to meet death, to meet God. With our sins going beforehand, or are they going to be following us after? Well, I'm thankful again this morning for that hope that we have in Jesus. And that calls us to a life of obedience, a life of surrender. Dead to self and alive to Christ. And now you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. God is looking for a people that are alive in him, yes, here in this life, who are living for him, who are enjoying the Christian life. There's no greater cause in this life to live for than the cause of Christ and his body. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of fulfillment. It's a life of peace and joy that the world knows nothing of. Many today want Jesus as their Savior, but not necessarily as Lord of their life. And friends, that won't work. We're not going to make it to glory if he is not our Savior and Lord both. He saved us to serve him. He has given us the manual to get us through life. He has given us his Holy Spirit. We are without excuse this morning. He saved us to be his physical presence here on earth, his hands, his feet, and his mouthpiece. And I am thankful this morning for Uncle Sam's testimony as being one of those. It was mentioned here by the brethren, and I heard it last night, that he was an encourager in the church. What a blessing. But you know, like the songwriter says, his tongue will lie silent in the grave. But I believe a lot of those inspirations will live on. Let's do it. It's now our day. It's now our time to continue that work. And I'm so thankful this morning for Uncle Sam's life, his testimony, to the fact that he accepted the Lord as his Lord and Savior. Yes, he wasn't a perfect man, but I believe his perfection was in Christ. The Bible tells us that, how does it say? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You know, we're left with memories. Use as a family. Sister Susanna, you're left with memories. Their works do follow them. Uncle Sam was an inspiration to us many times, and just one time in particular. You know, his brother, my dad, passed almost 20 years ago now. And I'm not sure how many years it was later, Mom remarried. And we're thankful for Dad Nisley, as we call him, and the support that Dad's family gave us through that time, and Uncle Sam being one of them, was a real inspiration. I remember Uncle Sam was asked to share at the wedding, at the reception, and he advised us at Mom's wedding to accept Vernon, our stepfather. And I think if I remember right, he advised us to call him Dad. Well, that was a real inspiration coming from one of Dad's brothers, my uncle. I also had the privilege last night to have Uncle Sam's Bible, and I soon saw that I'd be up here way too long if I go through that and all the inspirations he had there. But I'd like to say, as a family, look at his Bible often. Look at what meant a lot to your dad. There was a lot of highlighting and verses marked out. It was obvious that he loved the Lord. It was obvious that it was his desire to serve the Lord. I was just blessed with the many verses that were precious to Uncle Sam. I believe he loved the Word. I remember one of the Sundays a while ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, that Uncle Sam brought some of the aunts and uncles to McVeightown one Sunday morning. And we had asked Sam to share a devotional that morning. And I'm not sure if he had on faith or on prayer exactly, but I just remember a little account he gave, and this, I think it was the granddaughters, which are probably now grown. But he relayed a little story of one time when I think him and some of the granddaughters were going to go for a ride somewhere on the farm there, and the golf cart didn't start. And well, you know, he was disappointed, but you know, it didn't start. Whatever it takes to fix it, we'll have to get it fixed. Well, he said the grandchildren said, well, let's pray. And he said they just, that quickly, they all gathered together and prayed together. And he said, you know, he thought, well, you know, the gate or the golf cart didn't start. You know, he almost didn't expect it to start. And after the prayer, it fired right up. And I remember he broke when he relayed the story. And if I don't have all the details straight, you have to correct me. But he was inspired by that faith in prayer. Well, his faith lives on this morning through you as a family. And I'm thankful for that blessed hope we have for him. Yes, God is the final judge. Again, last Friday morning when we were there beside his bed, Susanna made the comment that he has his bags packed and he's ready to go. And yes, though you were ready to see him go and be relieved from the prison of his earthly body, I'm still sure when that time came, and probably like was mentioned this morning, in the coming days and weeks, the reality of that is going to sink in. Dad is gone. Your loved one is gone. In Uncle Sam's Bible, he had a box drawn around the words in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, and I'd like to read those verses. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only." Note this, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Let's be faithful this morning. Sam has went on. Will we meet him there? What an encouragement to us. Uncle Sam told us here a few months ago, my brother Matt and I were in to visit him a little. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this morning, but I think I will. He told us that back years ago when Melita had started, I think it was in those days, and they were attending there, that Dottie came over one morning. He said he saw Dottie coming in the drive. And, well, he figured there'd probably be some discussion, maybe some questions. But he said Dottie came, and Sam went out to talk to him. And Sam just made mention something to the fact that he was thinking of what he's going to say. He said, Dottie came to him, and I don't know if I remember everything exactly, but he said, I just want you to know that our desire is to see our children and our grandchildren make it to heaven. And you know, that touched Sam. There wasn't any arguments, but it was just an honest concern. And I don't doubt this morning that that's Uncle Sam's desire for each one of you as a family as well. Thank God for a goodly and a godly heritage. And thank your parents for their faithfulness. You know, God forbid that we are that weak link in the chain of passing on a goodly and a godly heritage. Well, back to the question. Job asks, where is he? And again, this morning, I don't know how that all is. But we can't help but wonder. You know, with those of us that have had loved ones pass on that we have good hope for, is there a reunion in heaven? Did Uncle Sam meet Mommy and Daddy? His sister Mary? His brothers, John and Elmer, my dad, Uncle Dan and Uncle Gid, and the in-laws, and many others that he would have known here that have passed on. I don't know how that all is. But I had to think of the songwriter, "Will the circle be unbroken in heaven?" Well, this morning we still have, in that family, we still have Uncle Yoni and Uncle Amy and Aunt Lizzie. Like the poet says, he says, the rest of us here must still journey on. But our dear brother, he really has won. God bless you. As you lay your loved ones, your siblings, to rest. Thinking a little in heaven, and I appreciated what was already read this morning. Revelation 21, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Then it talks, and our brother, I think, read this verse this morning, things that we can relate to. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and I know he probably is a family. Probably a lot of tears have been shed. Tears of pain, tears of stress, and whatever else. But it says, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Uncle Sam, I don't know if he had tears in his eyes when he got to glory. But it's special to me to think that God would reach down and wipe those tears. I think it's the Hebrew writer says about Jesus that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There shall be no more death. There will be no funerals in heaven. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. The heartaches and broken bones and things like that, they're going to all pass away. That's the hope we have as Christians. Again, the poet says, no sadness, no sorrow, no pain, no crying, no sickness, no sin, no hurting, no dying, but only real love, real joy, and real blessings. No threat and no harm, and nothing distressing. That's heaven. And we could spend a whole morning talking about heaven. Well, again, Sam is no longer with us. He found deliverance from his physical body. It was a prison, I believe, to him the last while. I believe he found sweet deliverance. This morning, Aunt Susanna, the parting, I'm sure, is real. God bless you with comfort and with grace. God blessed you with many years together. But the end has come for those years together here in life. And God blessed you as a faithful companion and wife by his side. You spent many hours caring for him, many hours there in your living room together in the last number of years. God bless you for that. That's now over. And may God give you special grace, strength, and courage as you complete your journey here. I believe God still has a big purpose and a mission here for you. Pray for your children, for your grandchildren. Like David said, they will not come back to us, but we can go to them. This is not the end. To you as a family this morning, God bless you richly for all the time and energy that you spent caring for your parents, for your dad. It was outstanding. Looking on, there was a lot of work. I'm sure a lot of stress that went along with that. Back a couple months ago when we were in to see Uncle Sam, I think it was shortly after that, I was talking to a community man that comes to church, and I mentioned that we were in to see my uncle, that he's physically not very well. And you know, he said, is his family caring for him at home? And I said, yeah, they are. Oh, he said, praise the Lord. He said, that's the way it should be done. God bless you for taking care of your parents. It won't be in vain. God sees it all. In closing, a quote. When you were born, you cried and the people around you smiled. Live your life so that at your death, you smile and the people around you cry. Dear friends, this is not the end. The best is yet to come, if we're washed in the blood of Jesus. In closing, I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 4, a few verses there. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We can meet them again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm looking forward to that day when we can have that family reunion. Yes, our physical family, our spiritual family, and be with the Lord throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Uncle Sam, in his Bible, he had a list of songs, and the titles to those songs was When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. And the words that go with that is, I'll be there. Another song was, I Need No Mansions Here Below. Well, he left it all behind for something much better. Another one was, Be Ready When He Comes. And that message still rings to us this morning. Will the circle be unbroken? That's your choice and my choice. Will we be faithful? And the last one he had written was, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. And this morning, I'd like to think that that's a reality for Uncle Sam. May God bless each one of you, especially as a family. May God give you grace, comfort, and strength.